Some days life feels perfect, other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing, we can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable, broken, live or die. So speak life. It's twisted, other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. Fire, hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. Raise your thoughts a little higher, use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Lift your head a little higher, spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. So speak life.
Good evening, Namibia, and a warm welcome to Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station. I'm your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, here to keep you company this time of the evening. Up until 2100 hours. I must give you something completely different. Up until 2100 hours. Ooh, wow, it is. I want to say it's hot, maybe because I'm wearing so many clothes. Last Saturday and fortunately, I got cold. I wasn't dressed warm enough. I must admit that I wasn't dressed entirely warm enough. And so I got cold. But then maybe it was all the laundry that I did. Yeah, but I did laundry today as well. But interestingly, thankfully, I'm feeling warm because I'm dressed warm. Secondly, I'm having a cup of coffee. So cup of tea. So I think that also is helping me. Yeah. So let's just keep warm. the cold I felt last Saturday was huge, was really out of, yeah, so much that when I went home, I was cracking down. You know, my teeth were really gnashing my teeth in a way, really cold, and my legs were hurting just because of the cold. Just because of the cold. Imagine. Anyway, tonight we're talking about self-worth. How much are you worth? People pay us according to how we put a price tag on ourselves. And there are people with such strong moral convictions who have defined their worth and wouldn't trade it for any price, for any price tag. And now, if you don't define your value, others will define it for you. You'll be paid less what you're worth, or you'll be paid lots of money to do dirty work. So what's your price value? That's a conversation that we're going to be having tonight. We're going to talking about, what were we talking about? Self-worth. Who are you? You know, I think I've once heard that if you don't put a price tag on yourself, people are going to put a price tag on you. Who are you? What are you worth? What are your convictions? Are you willing to stand on your convictions regardless of the price that is being offered to you? Now, a lot of people miss this. Some people miss it. They would say they stand for one thing, and when a check is handed over to them, they completely change. They completely change and give in. And that's because they have not put a price tag on themselves. And that's because they've not defined who they are and their worth. They haven't. And therefore, it's easy to swing them to and fro. So that's really what I want us to look at today. By looking at also practical examples, of how we define, how you can define your own wealth. Let's start off by, a more common one of interview questions. You know, I've seen a lot of people make mistakes in terms of this one particular question that the interviewer will ask the interviewee, ask them, how much do you want us to pay you? And right then they freeze. They all of a sudden, you don't know what the answer is to that. And that is so, that shows unpreparedness, that's number one. And secondly, it shows that you don't know how much you're worth. It also shows that you haven't done enough digging about the particular company that you are looking to work for. How much do they pay? How much digging have you done? You know, have you asked around? How much are they able to pay you? How much can they afford to pay you? In what range can you perhaps ask? But then before that, you yourself should have a, you know, something already on the table that says, okay, this is how much I'm worth. This is how much I can accept. Further than this, I will not negotiate, or further than this, I will not go below that, you know? So it's about you also determining your worth. Now, again, a lot of people really, as they enter into that interview room, and when that question comes, they are puzzled. But the question is, why are you puzzled? Why haven't you prepared for it? I mean, you have heard about people speak about, this has become a norm now. This has become a norm to ask how much you're worth. Back then, I don't know how many years ago, most probably more than 10 years ago, I was working. No, I had applied to work for this particular company. I had really been walking around looking for a job. And then I applied for this particular company. But I applied in this particular company. At the time, I didn't know what vacancies were available. And so I applied as a supervisor. Okay. And so, no. The job position that was available was that of a supervisor. And it just so happens that I brought in my CV at a time when a particular young lady who was doing the supervising job was going abroad. So they didn't need to even advertise the vacancy. And boom, here comes this particular lady just what we need, sort of like later. That's how I got to see it. So I was called in for an interview, and that was on Sunday. No, really, let's backtrack. I need to give a little bit of detail. You know, that's me. When I tell a story, I want to give you a bit of detail. My second-born son had just turned 6 months, or was it just about to turn 6 months? Was it 6 or 5? Because I know that the time when we had started him on formula, I got a nanny specifically because I had prepared my mind that, okay, now I'm going back to work, right? I'm now looking for a job. I had been at home for quite some time, nursing my firstborn child, and also nursing the newborn baby who are just about 6 months or so. And so I literally looked for a nanny, somebody to come and stay with the kids. Why? I had already prepared in my head that should I get a job, because I'm job hunting now, and I will get a job very soon. I was so very positive. When I'm positive about something. I was like, I'll get a job very soon. So I need to prepare ahead of time. The nanny needs to get used to the child, and the child needs to get used to the nanny, or to the helpmates, to the person who's going to help me. And so, yeah. And then we started with formula. And the boy was now on formula, introducing me, and he took it in quite easily. It was not a big deal. And I loved this girl who was taking care of my son, because she eventually, when I finally started work, she eventually picked up that he doesn't stay long in his sleep. And she identified that, and she told me. And then I later picked it up that, listen, the reason why he doesn't stay long in his sleep is because he's not satisfied. He's not full. So he's waking up to feed. So let's add more, you know, let's add more of the formula powder in his bottle, so it can be a little bit thicker, so he can sleep for longer. And truly, when we did that, it worked. And I really loved that particular girl. She was a young girl at the time. She was even with me for a holiday job, you know, and she did so well. I still have her contact details, and I was so proud of her when she told me she got her own child. I was like, no doubt you will make a great mother, because my goodness, she was such a young girl, very brilliant and very bright and very wise. Nonetheless, so I remember I would even wake up very early in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. I'll go take a shower. It was a nice warm bath. I'll leave the baby, on the bed, next to daddy, to his dad. And so I would go take a bath, and literally just prepare my mindset. And at the time, what triggered at the time was because my spouse had gotten sick, and I think he was just overworked. He was just really overworked at the time, and I decided to chip in, because at the time I had been working before, I think a year and some months prior. And then I decided to just stay home, and then I was a housewife for some time. And so then that in between, now I wanted to just get back into also assisting. You know, when you're working, when you can see the other partner is really burdened and whatnot, you need to also chip in it if you can, you know? And so, yeah. So then my mindset was really focused on, I know I'm going to get this job. I'm definitely certain that I'm going to get a job. So I went about job searching. I would wake up 5 o'clock in the morning. I'll take a bath. And then as I'm taking a bath, I'm actually proclaiming over my day. I'm declaring that, yes, this is how I'll be waking up early in the morning. I'm going to work. So I really just adjusted my mind before the job, before even anything came. So I would wake up, I would drop my CV. Back then, dropping CVs was the in thing. This was like 12 years ago. So yeah, I remember now, I would really get into that mode of I'll go drop my CVs. And there was this particular place that I remember, it was just close to the service station in Clinventook. And so I dropped my CV, and somebody said something about I should come back or something. There should be an opening. And then I came back the next week or so. I couldn't remember the place. I went back home and I did some praying again. And then I, was just trying to calculate in my mind my steps where I'd been. And eventually I found it again. And so then I dropped my CV and it was on a Sunday, I think a week after that I got a call. You know how unlikely for you to get a call for a job interview on Sunday? Oh, well, I got a call on Sunday and he said, well, we're calling you for an interview, to come in for an interview tomorrow. And as I went for the interview, the, you know, the road was so busy. I was, is it 20 minutes late? My word. I was panicking and whatnot. And I remember my partner telling me that, don't worry, you got the job. Like really just don't worry and whatnot. And when I got there, I think they were also late or so. They had it, or they saw no big deal or something like that. Anyway, we did the interview, and within the conversation, I remember, they asked me how much I wanted to be paid, and I gave a figure, and it was quite a high figure. I could say, I think I had calculated also my previous job, how much my previous job was paying me, and I wanted to go $2,000 above what I was getting paid before. You understand? So, and I could, doing my assessment, I could tell that this company was in a position to pay me that figure. Okay. And then they said, okay. And, I think afterwards, I can't remember per detail exactly what happened. I remember the interview was done and I was sitting, they asked me a question. They said, so when can you start? And then I said, I can start even right now. Like literally. And I was so bold. I was like, I can start even right this very moment now. And then, and, I went, as I was walking to the gate, the officer, the security guard calls me and says, hey, they are calling you back. I was like, okay. I came back and guess what? They just discussed shortly and they said, you know what? You've got the job. I was like, what? I still remember that day like it was yesterday. They were like, you've got the job. And I was like, thank you so much. I was very confident. I had my legs crossed. I still remember in that interview, I had my legs crossed. You're all like, I was so confident. And I think that's the thing about me. Usually when I'm attending, oral interviews, I'm very confident, especially when I know what I'm dealing with and I can be very confident. And I don't know, maybe we should have a discussion on interview tips. I saw a lot of people panicking, but you're literally, I tell myself, hey, they are human beings with flesh and blood. There is blood flowing through their veins. So why am I scared? Why am I, you know, worried? And they called me back and they said, you've got the job. And, I remember we sat down and then I think I had spoken about my kids, right? And they were like, and what about the kids? You need to go home and sort them out. And I said, no, I already have a nanny. I already got somebody. You see, you know, there's this phrase when opportunity meets preparation, when opportunity comes your way and you are already prepared, my goodness, you are able to grab that opportunity with both hands and not linger around because you are already prepared. So home was already sorted. It was no big deal for me to stay out until 5. Because I know normally I would go home maybe around 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock after job hunting. And I remember calling my spouse at that particular day after I was told the good news and I said, I got the job. And he said, wow, you see, I told you. And I was, you know, remember I was late. I was so late because of traffic and everything, even though I really woke up early and whatnot. Okay. So I think one of the things that also, I ended up getting paid not that particular amount that I gave, but just, $1,500 less than what I had initially asked for. And,
they ended up, I asked about medical aid as well, whether they gave medical aid. And then they offered me $500 on top of my salary as a compensation for not, that let you go sort out your medical aid without $500 million. And I was like, wow. Fast forward later, with time, I came to learn that the girl who was doing my, so that's how she trained me in that short period of time before she could go, because she only had 2 days left in the company and then she had to go. So then she trained me that those 2 days. And I think that's why they didn't want to waste any time, because I would be needed immediately and she's going soon anyway. So later on with time, I came to realize that, I was now getting paid, I believe, 2,500 more what she was getting paid for the very same job. Remember, I was replacing her. She's going abroad. And it just turns out that I was getting paid 2,500 more for that very job. And no, they had not offered her $500 for medical aid as they did for me. Now, here's where I'm driving. How much are you worth? Therefore, this story, I share it so you can draw your own conclusion and really sit down and calculate and make assessments and see, when I go for a company, how much am I worth? How much am I willing to wake up in the morning for and spend the whole 30 days at work? Okay, not minus other days, and spend those days at work. How much am I willing to sacrifice? How much am I willing to get paid for that, you know, for that time? Okay, we have a scheduled commercial break. Let's pause here. We'll be back. Take a musical break and we'll be back shortly. Stay tuned.
You know, there's something about opening a Tafel Lager that brings people together.
Yeah, and once people come together, the voices follow.
Ideas get shared. Laughs get louder.
New perspectives come up where you least expect them.
Because when people use their voice, conversations start.
And those conversations, they can refresh a moment and even shape what happens next.
So, grab a Tafel Lager and start the conversation. Tafel Lager. Now we're talking. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
I was standing in the shadows of a life I didn't own. Every mirror told a story of a heart turned into stone. I kept chasing your reflection in the corners of my mind, but every step I took with you just left myself behind. I was dancing on a wire just to keep you satisfied. Every tear I ever swallowed was a war I had to hide. I was fading like a whisper in a storm I couldn't fight, till I heard a voice inside me saying you deserve the light. Every broken piece is calling out my name. Every silent scream is rising from the pain. I can feel the fire burning through the shame. Tonight I won't be the same. I should be through the fire. Try to rewrite who I was. Every sorry that I whispered just to earn a little love. I was bending every boundary, I was breaking every rule, just to fit into a picture where I only felt a fool. Now I'm walking through the wreckage of the girl I used to be. Every scar is like a roadmap leading me back to me. And the silence feels like music, and the pain has turned to gold. Every shattered piece is stronger than the lies I used to hold. I can hear my heartbeat louder.
Choose me through the fire, through the fire. choose me. Chasing your reflection in the corners of my mind, but every step I took with you just left myself behind. I was dancing on a wire just to keep you satisfied. Every tear I ever swallowed was a war I had to hide. I was fading like a whisper in a storm I couldn't fight, till I heard a voice inside me saying you deserve the light. Every broken piece is calling out my name, every silent scream is rising from the pain. I can feel the fire burning through the shame tonight.
Oh! chose me instead.
Okay, and we are back. Of course, we're talking about self-worth. How much are you worth? What price tag are you putting on yourself? Why are you allowing people to put price tags on you? That's really, literally the question that we are looking at today that needs an answer that I would want you and I to reflect on and ask ourselves the question, how much am I worth? What am I, how much really am I worth? What is it that I'm putting on the table? How am I presenting myself to people? What am I saying? What am I telling them? What price am I putting on? Because everything has a price, and you yourself as well, you have a price. I mean, reason why we go to work is because we have a price. It's not so. Yeah. Otherwise, if they were to say, come and work for free, I don't think anybody wants to come and work for free. Yeah. Of course, there can be such thing as volunteering work to gain experience. Even that is not necessarily for free. There's something that you have, as an end goal. Perhaps you're looking at, let me show my skills and my talent, or let me show my knowledge, my capacity and my capability so that they can consider, me in the future. That on its own is also something. So really, it's about how much price tag are you putting on yourself? How much are you worth? So that particular time when I came to later realize, I realized something very important. And even though I went on to be, to have another particular interview that I had, for this other company and going in that time, yeah, right after that, some years afterwards, going in that particular interview also, I kind of just knew that, hey, you know what? I got this one. I got it. And I think that's another aspect, your confidence level. You know, when you're actually putting yourself out there, bring all your cards on the table, go out awfully, confidently present yourself. You're selling yourself out there. You're selling what is within you. You're selling your talent, your contribution, what you need to convince the people what it is that you can bring on the table, what it is that you're able to do. What is it? Why must we give you this particular job? Why is it that you would be the right candidate? You're literally selling yourself out there. So you need to do a really good job about it. Because if you do a lousy job about it, then you're most likely not to get the job. Okay. So, I remember that a particular one also, the two ladies that I was, that were my opponents, and they were currently working for that particular company. They were actually doing internship for that particular company. So they knew, you know, the know-how of what was going on. And when I showed up, and at first my heart was like, going, 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 you understand? And when I showed up for the interview and I saw their dressing code, they were dressed in work uniform, which was an overall and a shirt or something like that. No, not an overall, but it was, it was some of this, uniform pants that they had on and white t-shirts. Immediately when and let me tell you something, I feed off other people's, low confidence. I'm sorry to say that. No, I feed off other people. The moment I see you, my opponent, and you are kind of like shaking, I feed off from that. I literally, it boosts up my confidence to say, oh, okay, she's shaking. So I guess I got this. Let me lift up my shoulders a little bit properly so that I can really do this thing. I look like I got this. You understand? So I remember even this other time, I'll come back to the story. This other time we're doing high angle rescue, practicing sort of, with my colleagues and this particular colleague, I was scared to the core. Like, how am I gonna, you know, go down with the, what do you call this? Oh my word. I forgot the, it was like a, is it a harness? Something where you strap yourself in so that you don't fall. You know, when you're going to rescue somebody and then you have to have those straps on you, on the back and in your legs. And I can't remember the word, man. I think it's a harness, web, like a spider web thing, something like that. I hope you get the picture. So I remember it was not from even from a very high place like that, but it was high. I could say it was maybe 3 meters. No, 3 meters, maybe might be two. Let me see. maybe 3 to 4 meters, yeah, in between there. So it was relatively not that high, but still I was scared. So what if it breaks or something like that? Although it was not going to break, but I did have some sort of fear within me. Oops, now we have to go for a quick commercial break and we'll be back shortly. Just stay tuned.
Care that goes where you go. That's international travel insurance through NHP. We facilitate cover of up to 10 million Namibian dollars per member for medical emergencies abroad as part of your membership. No extra charge. To receive your policy within minutes, simply register at nhp.com.na before you travel. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Right. So, I remember when she had to go first and she was panicking like nobody's business. She was so scared. I started laughing at her. Not in a bad way, but I just started laughing. I think also to ease also the tension that was inside my heart because I was scared too. But the way she was scared was way more than I. Therefore, I felt like, you know what? I can do this. So when it was my turn to do it, I was extra enjoying myself and I was breaking with my name like, yeah. This is me, something like that. And yeah, so, and that was really run about it, but I managed and I succeeded. So back to the story of another time when I had an interview. So when I saw these two damsels and their dressing code, I was like, you knew you were coming for an interview. Why aren't you dressed like somebody who's going for an interview? I understand. Why didn't you just come with extra clothes? Why didn't you put on official wear and then afterwards change back to your clothes? I mean, to your uniform or something like that. I mean, you want to give first. I mean, first impression counts. Even though you work for that particular company already, you are interning, but you're trying to get this job. I think you just have to really put the work, put yourself out there, you know? And so when I saw their dressing code, immediately my confidence level skyrocketed. And I saw them whispering to themselves. I said, they're not so sure, as if they were scared. And that too, I fed off it. And guess what? I was the first person that was interviewed, and I went in there and they were asking questions. And I was so lucky because the day before, I was in a class, and the lecturer was asking my colleague, I remember it was a particular word, like define integrity in your own words. And then, you know what he said? He said, integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching. From there, I carried that like forever. And so when I went for the interview, you know what they said? Define integrity in your own words. Everything else I was elaborating on, but immediately they said that particular question, define integrity in your own words. I said, integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching. And that's it. I kept quiet. And they were like, is that it? And I'm like, yeah. Like, I've given the answer. What's more to add, you know? Is that it? I was like, yes. And I think I added maybe just a little bit because I was like, I mean, that's literally it. So I was so glad that I was in class that day and that the lecturer asked that question. It wasn't posed to me because, you know, and I think she also said in your own words, like in your, you know, and so I was just like, wow, this was definitely not coincidence. It was, if I was really prepared for this. So, and then they got to the part to the, which brings us to what we're discussing today. They got to the part of, how much do you want us to pay you? And I had made assessment already about that company. I knew what they can afford. And in fact, I felt like the blanket within what I asked was very little, like literally. So I threw in my figure, which I had already in my mind, at the back of my mind, was already in my mind to say, this is exactly what I'm going to say when they ask me, how much do you want us to pay you? So then I said the figure and confidently it was very quiet, waiting for them to respond. And then they were like, and then I remember the HR officer was like, and if the job is paying less than that, would you still take the job? And I was like, yeah, I'll still take it. Because in my mind, I was like, how much is that just the question that they are asking, or is it really less than what I was asking? turns out it was also a little dollars less than what I was asking. But I was so glad that I asked. But guess what? The first few months, I was paid less than the what I asked. And then the other couple of months I had, because I remember it was, the contract was renewed, I was paid double the figure what I had asked. Almost double the figure what I had asked. So you see what I'm saying? You know, you set the tone of what you want people to pay you. Whether it's for your business or whether it's a gig or whether it's something that you do, you set the tone of what you want people to pay you. But you need to find the balance as well. You don't want to be overstretchy and then you don't want to price yourself so that you can be underpaid. You know, I see a lot of people not vocal enough. They don't speak out. They are quick to, they don't make enough assessments. They are quick to also go to the third parties before sitting down with their employer or even at the very beginning of the employment and saying, listen, this is what I am looking into. And for some people, they make it even so clear to say, how is your company structure in terms of increasing salary? After how long do you guys review people's salary? After how long do you say, okay, we're gonna add so percentage to you, maybe 2%, maybe even 5% of your salary we will increase in a year's time or 2 years time or so. Some people go even as far as asking those questions, and there's nothing wrong with that because they want to know what they are committing to. They want to know what they're signing up for. And it should actually be like that. Because at the end of the day, when you are in a place where you are complaining and murmuring, you are less likely to do your job effectively because in the beginning, you have not defined your worth. You have not put a price tag on who you are and what the work that you're doing, what you want to be paid for the work that you're doing. So that's very important that you laid out there with your employer, even better from the very beginning. And if at the beginning it didn't work, well, listen, employers are human beings too. So they can't read your mind. They can't assume. They can't just wake up and say, yes, this is that. You understand? Sometimes, and in most cases, you need to pitch your idea or you need to speak out and you need to, take your challenges to your employer. Let's say, for instance, initially you signed up for a certain amount, a certain figure, and then as the years went on, you realize there hasn't been any increment from the company itself, none whatsoever, that was initiated. Now you have, I don't just want to say the right, but you can get up and speak out to them before you run and just complain and whatnot. The question is, have you spoken to them? Have you spoken to your supervisor? And if they're not doing anything about it, have you spoken to your immediate manager? If they're not doing anything about it, did you escalate it to the site manager? If they're not doing anything about it, did you go to the boss himself? You know, if the HR is not intervening, they don't seem to be hearing your grievances. They don't seem to be listening to you. Have you I'm saying this because we are often so quick to paint people, pictures of, you are insensitive, you are not kind, you are, you know, you're not paying me my worth, or you're not even trying, you know, you're not even trying to just meet me halfway as I do the work. You know, I think sometimes we're a little bit fast in condemning, let me put it like that, without actually seeking out and saying, hey, hold on, let me speak to HR, let me speak to, this person. If it's not working, let me go to the next person. If it's not, let me go, you know, calmly before you like become tensed up and, you know, all hell breaks loose from your end. Have you tried those things? So I think And that's one thing people miss. And as much as communication, you know how people talk about communication is very important in any relationship? Well, communication is important also in the relationship between employee and employer. Very, very important. And even sometimes, you know, there are special considerations. If, say, for instance, you need an extra day off or something, and maybe you have depleted your leave days, sometimes we don't open up. We're just so scared. You're not opening up to your employer to say, listen, this is what is happening right now. There's this unforeseen circumstance in my life that has come up and I need your intervention. I need your help. I need you to pull through for me, in regards to this. You understand? You know, people sometimes we tend to paint them this ugly paint, you know, paint them black, when in actual fact they are willing to come through for you. I say this because, you know, I remember last year an unforeseen circumstance happened in my life. You know, my beautiful daughter at the time, we had agreed that she'll be with my mom, as I'm with the two boys. She'll be with my mom to just to be able to attend a better school in the north, you know. And I remember there was a time I really made a sacrifice, and I said, you know what, that was when she was really small, when she had started with kindergarten. And I don't know if I've said this before, in the kindergartens that were around me, those that I couldn't even afford for that matter, in the capital city, they were not doing what I wanted. And I easily pick. And I think that's what parents should do. When you pick that the school is not teaching your child, is not, you can see that the child at this point should know this. My daughter was in kindergarten. She didn't know how to write her name. She didn't know nothing. All she knew was sing. And I was like, wait, what is going on here? I can't be paying, you know, monthly without, because I remember when we were in kindergarten, we knew so much then. So I remember, and then when we went to the north one time, for holiday, I remember, hearing about this particular lady who's a very good kindergarten teacher. And I said, you know what, baby girl, I'm going to have to sacrifice this, but you're going to have to stay here with grandmother just so you can go to that really nice school. It was like, that school is like a private school. I'm telling you, it's up to standard school, and it's inexpensive, really. It's affordable. And, and she's so good. She's so good. She's really good. Lydia, she's very good. And she's situated in Onga. If you're looking for a very nice, nice school for your child, my goodness, all her kids have gone on to become number one at other schools. When they leave her school, when they go to grade one, they do really well. So, and then, so she went to that school and she was doing really well. Now, somewhere last year, and then, you know, we were now trying to continue that at a particular private school. And unfortunately, she fell and then broke her arm and she had to go for an operation. She had to go for two operations, actually, to put in a screw because her bone was broken. It was just a little bit of a something, but it was painful, obviously. And so they had to do an operation on her, and they operated her and they put in that screw. And then, few months after, it was supposed to be removed after a year, you know, few months afterwards, it was protruding out, and I was scared that it's going to get infection. And then the doctors were telling me, I'm happy with the wound. I never knew doctors could also say that. And then and even my close relative who's a nurse also said the same thing. She was like, I'm happy with the wound. You know, I'm like, okay, I don't know what that means. But I later understood, no, the scarring around the wound shows that it's healing. The pinkish part, you know, shows that, yeah, it's not infected. And I was just so very happy with that. And so then eventually the screw was removed. Now, during that time, I needed more time. I needed more days. I needed more leave days with my little girl to be with her at the hospital, so she can, recover and all that. And I remember my mom traveling one particular time, the one particular, day, the second time when she had to go for an operation, and coming to be with her, and arrived that morning, and I had to come to work. And so, and I had depleted my leave day, for real, I had depleted my leave days, like, but it's how my employer was so forthcoming, you know, allowing me to really understanding my situation. And I appreciate that. I really did. I remember wanting to talk about it one time, but I did not. But so I'm trying to say sometimes it takes you as well to open up and speak up and say, this is what I'm currently going through. Could you help me with this? And sometimes just you making it clear that, hey, this is what is going on. Could you, you know, I heard of a very insensitive company in South Africa. I don't know how true this is, of a lady who requested to be off and they were bluntly rude. They said no and she died at work. And I was, there are some companies who really abuse people, and I wouldn't encourage you to stay in any company that is abusing you. Nonetheless, let's pause here, take a trip to the marketplace. We'll be back shortly. This is, of course, on Life Lessons. Stay tuned.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plan. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt, und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
Oh yes, welcome back. We're talking about self-worth. Okay, we're still talking about self-worth. And I think that is when you come to a point where you realize, oh, this company cares about me. Then please, by all means, feel free to also speak it out where you can, you know, because there are really companies that are completely stressful. And sometimes when we hear people commit suicide also, it is because of the work toxicity, you know, the toxicity at work. And you hear people talk about toxicity at work, my goodness, and it's so bad. Like, you wouldn't want, it's not nice to be dealing with toxicity at work and dealing with toxicity in your life again, with family members, with loved ones here. No, you wouldn't want that. You would want, you know, a peaceful, calm environment. And I think when we talk about work toxicity, it's people that make work toxic for other people or environment toxic for other people. Perhaps you are that one person. You know, sometimes we talk about things and talk about, as if there are no people who treat others badly that don't exist. When there are toxic people at work, please speak out also about them. You know, it's always nice when one colleague says this and the next colleague confirms it, and then, you know, I keep on saying, really thank God, for the environment I'm in. I really say that, really, you know, being able to come to work and do your work peacefully and go home peacefully is so underrated, honestly. I think we don't talk about it enough, to be very appreciative of where we are. But then now it boils down to, what is your worth? Are you willing to be in this toxic, situation or toxic environment, or because you want to put bread on the table? There are times, yes, that you have to endure certain situations, but there are times also where you have to put your foot down and say, I can't deal with this anymore. That is if you have extensively for a long time tried to get a solution to it. If you have tried to get a solution to it and nothing is coming out of it, please, by all means, try to move away from that environment, because a toxic mind has a way of you taking that garbage that, you know, that you've been dealing with during the work hours and taking it home, even to your loved ones. And this as a result, family and children suffer. Our loved ones suffer because, you know, somebody was screaming at you perhaps at work. You go home and scream on your children, and the children go on and scream at other children at school. So it's really a toxic environment that is being spread, and you wouldn't want to be in such a situation. It boils down to, what is your worth? Are you willing to be in an environment that is so toxic that you can't really retain your peace? Or are you going to work on perhaps finding something better? And sometimes there comes a time where you really just have to pull the plug and say, you know what? I can't deal with this toxicity anymore. I'm unfortunately going to have to pull this plug for my own sanity. I read somewhere about the one person that commented on the girl that died at work, and she said there was a time she was employed and she wasn't eating, and her mom also stopped eating because she wasn't eating, and her mom would sometimes force her to eat, a grown adult forcing her to eat, and she was so, you know, worn out. And eventually her mother said, you know what, quit that job. I know you need the money, but quit it. Just, we will survive. We will go by with what we have. And I think we all need, yes, sometimes you need the money. You do need the money. But you know, sometimes it gets to a point where it's really hard and it's really draining. And I think at that point, there are times when it's very extreme. You need to pull the plug for your own sanity, especially when you see that you're having all this constant negative thoughts that are, you know, evolving in your mind, that are just coming up. You're contemplating suicide, you're contemplating, all because you're frustrated and angry with the way things are going. If you can't maybe get a transfer to another location, please consider really a massive change. And if but you need to extensively speak out about it, even reaching out to outsiders. And I think that's where sometimes the issue is. Who are you speaking to? Speaking to your fellow employees and just complaining about the matter won't help. Does not help, actually, because sometimes it doesn't help. You both of you are just crying over something and nobody is taking any decision. Speaking to somebody who can't change anything is pointless. You need to speak to somebody who can change the situation. But it begins with you telling yourself, I believe I am worth more than just being treated somehow, being tossed to and fro. You know, I need to stand my ground and make it clear while my neck and my head is still intact. In other words, I'm saying before I explode, you understand? Because when toxicity becomes so high, it can push you to a point where you react, because the body and the mind has been, you know, piling up things and somehow also calculating if, you know, before you know it, you have really, done something that is not, that puts you in a very vulnerable position. I don't know if you remember, 2 years ago, I believe it was 2 years ago, when a man killed his employer. Is it two people that he killed, or was it one person? I think it was two people that he killed, unfortunately, all because of the way they treated him. And he said he has a family to take care of, and they belittle, you know, and that is very wrong. We need to treat people with respect and honor you all. However, you are the manager, where you are the supervisor, where you are what? Treat people with honor and respect, whether it's the security guard, whether it's the cleaner, whether it's who, treat people with respect. Because when you, unfortunately, something happens to you, God forbid you faint at work, these are the people who are going to be at your aid, okay? And not only because of that, but let's treat people with respect and honor. This is somebody's, you know, when I have been disrespected and I'm very disappointed and maybe very pissed at the way you disrespected me, I almost always say, I'm a whole mother of kids. How do you disrespect a mother of children? Like, I don't know. It's like, I always remind, you know, that always comes out to say, you're talking to someone's mother, you know? You know, like literally. So remember, you're dealing with people's spouses, you're dealing with somebody's sisters, somebody's brother, somebody's mother for that matter, you know, you're dealing with a whole adult. And even if it's somebody who's of middle age or whatever, you're still dealing with a matured person. So let's treat people with the same respect we want to be given back. Let's treat people with respect, irregardless of their job titles. You know, I've gotten away with so many wonderful things. So let me say I've gotten far ahead with certain people, especially when you're establishing great relationships, or because I didn't know who they were. I've many a times met people I didn't know who they were, only to find out, oh my goodness, this is the minister of what and what. You know, I've really gotten to a point where, oh, this is the ED of so. Oh, okay. Thankfully, I had already probably been chatting to this person and saying, oh, maybe we met at an event and we're speaking and chatting just in general. And I like to talk to strangers, by the way, and just in general, speaking about something, and only later to learn I was conversating with an ED. And tomorrow, when I probably want something from the ED, or perhaps I want to engage them for news or something like, it becomes so easy. Why? I like that. The fact that there are certain people that I have, so many people I've engaged that I didn't know what their positions were. It's so nice because, you know, when you know that this is the CEO, I think you're a little bit restricted. There's a certain way you wouldn't want to speak to them. But when you don't know who they are, you just flow. And that's me. I just flow. And when I later realize, oh, this is the so-so person, I think I've already created a first impression of, that's just me. I talk with anybody. Just, you know, I'm free to talk to whosoever, regardless of your position. And that is, what should be the attitude, the norm, to treat people regardless of their titles, whether you know who they are, what they do and whatnot, shouldn't matter. You're supposed to respect people regardless. Now, mind you, you maybe treat somebody anyhow, only for you to later realize that, hey, hold on. This is the person who is going to be interviewing you, for instance. That would be so bad. That would be so very, very bad. So we need to treat people with the level of respect that we would want to be treated with, regardless of what title they hold and whatnot. Back to self-worth. And also, I think that sets the tone for self-worth. Now, self-worth means really laying down your cards. Sometimes it's not even about being vocal. It is in your actions and in how you present yourself and in how you carry yourself. That's also how you define your self-worth, so that people don't toss to you and fro. I spoke about also, if you don't define your price tag, a price tag will be put on you. You will either be, you know, underpaid, or you'll be offered huge amounts of money to do dirty work. It brings us to the second point. You know, for some people, because they don't know how much they are worth, they will accept whatever price, as long as it's thousands of dollars, just to put themselves at risk, to put their lives at risk. Let's talk about, for instance, an example about people who are lured into carrying drugs and drug mules or moles, you know. Sometimes it's because of how desperate you are for money. You want a certain lifestyle, or maybe you're really in debt and you want to come out of it, and you accept dirty work, all because they've offered a certain price tag. But have you considered that price tag that you're putting on yourself is actually devaluing yourself? Even if somebody says, I will pay you 100,000 Namibian dollars for you to transport this maybe 5 kg or 4 kg of cocaine or whatever, or some very expensive drug, and once you successfully do that, I'll pay you $100,000. And at times, the person may already pay you the money, perhaps part of the money. And so you are like, you know what? If I just get through it. And for some people, they say swallow it. You at that moment, I think you freeze. You stop to think because you forget about the side effects of this drug actually bursting in your stomach. Because we have had stories of people whom drugs bursted in their stomach. Like I think of a story of a woman and her husband, and she swallowed some drugs and she kept up and down. And unfortunately the drug broke into her system and it was spreading and she died eventually. Okay. Now you put a price tag on yourself. That's the price you put on yourself. At the end of the day, that price tag was diminishing you. It was never fruitful in the end, you know. It in a way, you didn't price yourself anymore. You understand? You devalued yourself. So you saw the figure. But at the end of the day, you jeopardize your life. How many people have been caught in South Africa at Otambo International Airport because of being drug mules? How many people, how many young girls have been lured into that syndicate? How many young people should it take for you to actually realize that, wait, crime does not pay. I might actually not get away with this. Then what are the chances that I will not get away with it? You understand? Most likely you will not get away with it. And then your life has been distorted. And life has a way of having beautiful things in store for you had you just been patient. Who knows? If you actually had been patient, you're going to get this wonderful opportunity, this wonderful job, and perhaps even fall in love and get married and have kids and have a wonderful life that was beautifully ahead of you. But you mar it because of the decision that you made. Or because you allowed somebody to put a price tag on you, a dangerous price tag on you, which will cost you your career, which will cost you your life, which may cost you your life, which may cost you connections and great progress ahead. So really, if you don't define who you are, I'm telling you, you are going to sell yourself cheap because you have not put a price tag on yourself. Another price tag I want to talk about is your moral values and your convictions. This one is not necessarily finances, but how do you sell yourself? There are some people who feel, some women who feel, if I don't sell myself in a certain appearance, then that means I will not get the job, I will not get the part. You want to tell me that you want to be hired on merit, or you want to be hired on sex appeal? You want to appear a certain way so that that person can be lured into hiring you? Then I think you're selling yourself cheap, because when you put a price tag on yourself, my friend, you know, I saw lately this lady that was for the ECN commission, commissioner, the interview of three ladies, and the youngest one of them all, she really, I think many people can really agree that she has outdone herself. Let's put it like that. She was so confident. Let me tell you a few things that I've learned there. She was so confident. Out of all the other candidates, I think, and I've watched three candidates. Yeah. She had a pen and a paper. And as the person was asking a question, she was jotting them down. And that shows another aspect. Okay. It shows documentation. It shows that, you don't want to ask and say, repeat the question again. You want to get what, you know, you also want to trace yourself. And then I saw how she says, I'm going to mention three, and she writes it down. Number one, it writes two, number three, so that you can, you know, because you are in an interview, you want to remember what you have spoken already and what you haven't spoken already and what you still have to speak to, so that you don't end up speaking about two things and only later realize, oh my word, I didn't speak about number three, and it had more points. I had more stronger points to make with number three, you know, once I get to number three. So I saw how confident this particular lady is. And not only that, I love how she had her natural hair. You know, she had her natural hair. I saw she didn't have long nails or anything. I know that a lot of people don't actually get this. They don't get it. But how you appear, your appearance, my friend, says a lot about you. If you show up at an interview, I don't know if people still look at, into this, but there are some people who still look into that. If you show up at an interview, you know, with heavy makeup and nails and everything and what, one of the interviews might have the impression this job requires to be really vigorous, you know, to be on time, to be a thinker, to wake up early in the morning and be get or wake up anytime and be able to attend to certain things. Do you mean to tell me that you will have the time to be looking all pretty and still doing the job? You know, there's certain jobs that require you to be just, you know, up and about, you know, so I'm trying to say to you that you need to really sometimes consider certain things and learn from people. Learn from people. People who are so busy out there. You know, people who are making it out there. Many a times don't have time for petty things. No, really. Sometimes they don't have time for petty things because they're so busy trying to get ahead or to, you know, they're so busy with important stuff that they don't have time for mini stuff. Right. So it's about really selling yourself and it's about carrying yourself in a certain way where you know my worth. When you take a seat in a particular a position, you sit in such a manner that you are aware that I know my worth. You understand? I know my worth. I know who I am. You get, I still remember a particular, time when we were going to a certain event. We were going to moderate a certain event and somebody at the time, a colleague at the time, said, do I know what I'm signing up myself for? Do I know I'm going to be in front of people and this and this and that? And that was actually weighing on me. In a way, and then I was like, it was getting on to me. But thankfully, I spoke to a friend of mine, and a friend of mine was like, you know what? Please tell them that you could be interviewing Donald Trump and you do just fine. And that really boosted my confidence. I laughed, but he had a point, you know, it really boosted my confidence. And that's the confidence we ought to carry. You have to really be confident in what you're doing and what you're presenting and what you're doing. Find that your passion and find that your talent and do so well at it. Excel at it. Be confident in doing it, you know. Spend time, prepare yourself, read about it, you know. I remember when I was gonna start reading news, I remember checking out interview tips, how to even introduce the news. How do I say it? You know, how do I even say good morning or good afternoon? The time is so. I remember that. And I still have that at the back of my mind. And so if somebody was to sit me down now and talk about this is how you interview and this is don't do this, do that and do that, I enjoy it because I'm really willing to listen. I'm really willing to learn from the next person. And that's where we ought to be. You need to be willing to learn so that you can also learn how to appraise yourself, to put a price tag on yourself, on who you are. What is it that you are willing to do? What is it that you, are you the type of person that is willing, can easily fall away from your convictions and moral standards, or because we require you to do this, but it doesn't align with you because of the price tag? Will you easily say, okay, well, you know what, let's just do it anyway, but it doesn't sit well with my conscience or my mind, you know? How long are you willing to actually endure that particular type of conviction? Let me put it like that. How long are you? You know, I've come to realize people treat us the way we present ourselves and the way we allow to be treated. You understand? They really do. You know, that saying is sort of like, is an old saying now, but it's true. People treat us the way we want to be treated. People put a price tag on us. If you don't put a price tag on yourself, I guarantee you, other people are going to put a price tag on you. Nonetheless, let's pause here and take a trip to the marketplace. We'll be back shortly with a musical break. Stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Every single night, you said forever with trembling hands, then disappeared like falling sand. I carried hope inside my chest, even when loving you hurt the best. Now every tear became a flame, and I don't whisper your name. Like gold, but cold hearts always turn so cold. I beg the stars to change your mind while losing pieces of mine. Now every hallway feels alive. I hear my spirit come alive. No more chains.
You left.
Every single night, you said forever with trembling hands, then disappeared like falling sand. I carried hope inside my chest, even when loving you hurt the best. Now every tear became a flame, and I don't whisper your name. Like gold, but cold hearts always turn so cold. I beg the stars to change your mind while losing pieces of mine. Now every hallway feels alive. I hear my spirit come alive. No more chains around my feet. No more time. You left behind. I was broken.
strong hearts lose their light. But I found heaven in the pain, and now I'm dancing in the rain.
Oh, yes, we're back. And this, of course, is Life Lessons. We're talking about your self-worth and putting a price tag on yourself. If you don't put a price tag on yourself, other people are going to put a price tag on you. Now, let's talk about you've already now been in this situation. Maybe you didn't put a price tag on yourself from the very beginning. What now? It's never too late. You can still do something about it. Now, one thing for sure that will never go out of fashion is enhancing your skills so you can better be in a position to price tag yourself. Okay, enhance your skills. You know, it's so quite opportunities to enhance one's skills are out there, and we need to embrace them. Every now and then, short courses are being offered. Back in the past, I was always a person of, there are certain things that I want. There are certain institutions that I want to be at. I don't want to be everywhere and anywhere. And I think that's also very important. That's another different way of putting a price tag, I guess, on yourself. By knowing what you want and really, pursuing it. Because if you don't know what you want, you will be tossed to and fro. I keep saying that, you know, you will be tossed to and fro and things will just be going somehow and you'll be questioning yourself and you will be frustrated as well. You will be frustrated because things are not going the way you want. What are you doing about it now that, things are not going so well? What are you doing about it? Are you just sitting down and folding your hands and expecting things to change? You know, I think many a times, sometimes we fold our hands and expect things to just, fall in place, but then they will not fall into place. Yeah, at times, yes, they will, but, most times they will not fall into place. You really have to play your part and ensure that you do something about it so that you can grow your skills and knowledge and your capability so that you can really be out there and be able to competently say, hey, this is what I'm worth. This is what I am willing to do. This is what I'm not willing to do. And it also puts you in a better position when you price tag yourself and when you enhance your skills. It puts you in a really better position to negotiate in regards to what you want and what it is that you want to be paid or what work it is that you want to do. Skills is never outdated. You can always gain more skills. Opportunities are really out there. Maybe you should also ask the right people because opportunities are definitely out there. You just have to do your part and ensure that you're doing the necessary do that needs to be done. Nonetheless, it's like I say, it's quite important that we make sure that we price ourselves and respectfully. You know, yes, I'm going to say prayerfully as well. And yes, prayerfully as well. Respectfully, put a tag on yourself. Respectfully, Tell the next person, this is what I want, even from the very beginning. But if you haven't done it from the very beginning, well, it's just never too late. Put a price tag on yourself. Ensure that you speak vocally, you're vocal about what it is that you want and respectful about it. I can never emphasize that enough, right? So self-worth is very important that you define it for yourself. My self-worth will not look like, may not look like yours, because there are certain things that I prefer, certain preferences that I prefer that which are not what you prefer, you know, because of different circumstances and different personalities, it will differ. So don't copy what's the next person's one. And for price tag also, don't compare. You know, I recently had someone say, you know, take a pen and a paper and write down what success means to you. Because if you don't, you will be looking at other people's life and think, okay, Elon Musk is successful and I want to be like Elon Musk, or Dangote is successful, I want to be like Dangote, or so cousin of yours who's a medical doctor is successful, I want to be like, no. You need to define your success. What does success mean to you? And this particular man went out to define what success meant to him. Success to him means being faithful to his spouse. That was one of the things he said. Success to me means being faithful to my spouse. Success to me means being able to make enough living and live off it afterwards for my family. Being able to do this and that, and you know, success means different things for different people. Success for me may mean spending enough time with my family. As much as I go out there to my job, I want to be able to have enough time for my family and also for sanity, you know. For success for me might not be the same for the next person. For another person who perhaps doesn't even have a family, hasn't started a family yet, success for them means traveling, a job that allows them to go different places, you know. Success for them means traveling different places and having enough in their account just to live off, you understand. For another person, and success to them means having a salary that caters for their expenses and still have enough to buy biltongs and chili bites. That's my friend. There was a prayer point. God, give me a job whereby I'll be able to take care of my expenses and still have money for coffee and buy chili bites. And I was like, wow, that's very interesting. So success for different people means different things, and therefore you wouldn't want to put yourself or group yourself in the category of people or measure other people's success and think they are successful, and by looking yourself through their lenses. No, you can't be the next person. Their circumstances and everything else are not yours. So you need to define success for you and what it means, and then price tag yourself, you know. Really, you need to do that so that you can know that, so that you are aware of what it is that you want, and so that you're not measuring yourself according to other people's standards. For some people, success means going to work abroad. You know, I've seen people who have successfully done that. Now, I was talking about this discussion with somebody, and I was like, you know, living abroad was always one of my greatest fears. It's not something that I want to go abroad. If I could, not really work. If I'm to work there, let it be like a week thing or 2 weeks and come back. You understand? If my job was sending me there, come back and all that kind of stuff, that I will appreciate. But me living entirely 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years in another country, I will easily be homesick. You know, I would want to be in another place. You know, home is, I've come to realize really there is nothing like home. Home is always where the heart is. Truly, home is where the heart is. And therefore, I wouldn't want to just disappear there. But for some people, that is what success means for them. So don't, you can have done the same course, the same university course, and the next person wants to work in the UK, for instance. And you, on the other hand, want to go and work at Onanjogwe Hospital, or perhaps maybe Yeah, you know, you want to be in a nana, and that is success for you, and build a house, you know, build a village, at an uptown house at the village, and that is success for you, and live with your kids, and they go to a nearby school, walk to school and come back home, and that is what success means for you. So I think the sooner we realize, we define really what success means for us and write it down perhaps and reflect on it, the better for us. That way we won't compare ourselves to other people. Most of the time when we lose our peace and our sleep is because we are in so much comparison to the next person. And I think that is where we lose our peace. Generally, you are okay with where you live, but because of the mates and the people that you're hanging around, you're beginning to ask yourself if you've really made it in life, if you're really on the right track. You begin to see yourself as moving at a slow pace. You begin to see yourself as moving like a tortoise. But who said that, you know? Maybe it's because you're defining it through other people's lenses. You know, of recent, I saw on a particular pastor's wife status, she said, when you begin to compare yourself, or when you're done comparing yourself to your mates, don't forget to compare yourself to your mates who have died, okay? And I was like, that is so deep. Oftentimes, we are comparing ourselves to our mates who are still alive. But hold on, they are also our mates who have died. They're no longer alive. Have you considered comparing yourself to them? Some of them died because of reckless decisions that they took, maybe because they were drunk and driving, or you know different things. Have you compared yourself to them? You know, as much as you may see yourself not making progress, you're always far ahead of the next person. You're always far ahead than someone else out there. So don't forget to compare yourself to those that are also not still here anymore. You understand? So really, I think success is really defining ourselves, by our own terminology, by also assessing our own personality, our own character, and not comparing ourselves. And I think you don't want to be in a position. I never want to be around people who make me feel inferior to what I'm doing. Okay. I never want that. And I think I deliberately choose people that align with my purpose, that are people who would lift me up and not break me down. I don't want to be around people who constantly think that I haven't achieved this and I haven't achieved that, when they don't even know what challenges I had, I've encountered. I don't want people that are like pushing me and pulling me to do things just so I can impress them. I don't want to be in a circle of such people. No. And I think that is the dangerous part of why also people allow people to put the price tag on them to do the dirty job. It's because they want to make an impression. Because my cousin built a house at the village, I'm now feeling like, you know what, by fire, by force, I must build one, or I must buy a car because all my cousins have bought cars. What if I can't afford one, you know? What if I'm not in a position to even buy it? And even if I have some savings, maybe I saved up those savings for other things, you know, and not for me to do something because I want to make an impression. And at the end of the day, I'm going to have sleepless nights because, you know, the money that I was supposed to use for something else is now being used to maintain the something, all because I want to put up a show, you know. Therefore, I believe in walking in my own lane. Yes, that doesn't mean we shouldn't grow. We shouldn't aspire growth. We shouldn't desire to be somewhere. We should, but in your own term and in your own terms. Measure yourself by your own terminal, on your own terms, you know, by saying, I should be here and here and there, and putting all factors into consideration, as opposed to, I'm supposed to be where Selma is. At least, you know, I'm supposed to be doing what Selma is doing. You don't know what sacrifices they had to put in place, whether it's positive sacrifices or negative sacrifices. You just don't know what is it that went well for them, that they are where they are. So when it comes to putting a price tag on yourself, don't compare yourself to other people. You are in your own lane. You're running your own race. And I think this is something that we constantly have to remind ourselves, because we are in a world that is now about success, measuring success by by you know, material things, by material standards, you know, and it shouldn't be like that. You know, the other day, or was it today or the other day, that I actually thought about it and I said, wait, hold on. Most of my Saturdays are spent, if not every Saturday, most of my Saturdays are spent doing laundry, right? Doing laundry and real massive laundry. And as it is today, I did a lot of laundry. And I still left some sheets, you know, some blankets that needed to be washed, and my own heavy gown that needs to be washed. And I soaked them up and put them in jig because a lot of them are cream and white. And I ended up not doing them. But now, far be it that I should be comparing myself. And every Saturday almost in my mind, I'm thinking, although I just don't tell my kids anymore, I'm thinking, let me finish early so that I can take them to the park. And most of the times I've not been able to do that. Why? Because I'm so focused on getting this out of the way. Because I know if I don't get it out of the way, I won't be able to do it on Sunday. And during the week, I will not be able to do it. I could, but not really, you know, not get as far as I can on Saturday. Now, imagine if I was sitting in a position where I'm comparing myself to another mom who every Saturday almost she's going out with the kids, you know. Perhaps she has somebody who can do the laundry. Perhaps she's doing her laundry fast enough with a washing machine. Perhaps, you understand? So you don't want to compare yourself to the next person and just give yourself unnecessary headache, because you are two different people with two different circumstances, coming from two different backgrounds, different circumstances. And that is the problem, because we compare ourselves so much that we now allow people, or even forced to put a price tag on ourselves, that is unhealthy. And that is not healthy for us. And it shouldn't be normalized. Therefore, we need to be very cautious and very careful. And I've come to realize about social media. And oh, for some people, success means not scrolling endlessly on social media. Success means successfully reading a book every month, you know. That's what success means for them. That's for some people. So define what is yours and stick to it. Yeah. And live within your means. Stick to what is yours. I think that is the secret to happiness. When you find your own pace and you run at your own pace without allowing the next person to drag you along, I think that is what joy is all about, right? Anyway, let's pause shortly for a musical break. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
I was a shadow in a crowded room, a silent fire no one ever knew. Wore my pain like diamonds on my skin, smiled outside while wars lived within. Every scar became a map somehow, every never made me stronger now. They tried to bury every dream I hid, but I was more than what they said I is. But the chains that held me to the ground only taught my heart to scream out loud. Now I wear my truth like battle paint, turned every weakness into strength. And if I fall a thousand times again, I'll rise a thousand one, my friend. Oh, I broke, but I became something strong. We'll be right back.
more silence. I can hear my soul screaming like sirens. This is my moment, this is my light. I didn't survive just to survive.
Silent fire, no one ever knew. Wore my pain like diamonds on my skin. Smiled outside while wars lived within. Every scar became a map somehow. Every never made me stronger now. They tried to bury every dream I hid, but I was more than what they said I is. But the chains that held me to the ground only taught my heart to scream out loud. Now I wear my truth like battle paint, turned every weakness into strength. And if I fall a thousand times again, I'll rise a thousand one, my friend. Oh, I broke, but I became something strong. Silence. I can hear my soul screaming like sirens. This is my moment, this is my light. I didn't survive just to survive.
Okay, and of course, that has been run about it when we're talking about self-worth and price tag. It's really about going out there and putting a price on ourselves. And if we don't, I keep repeating this, and I hopefully it sticks around, that if you don't put a price tag on yourself, other people are definitely going to put a price tag on you, whether that is by your... pricing you to do the dirty job and the dirty laundry, that too is a price, and we ought to be very wise and vigilant about that. But nonetheless, let's please go out there and never stop learning. And learning is not always specifically in school, you know. I thought of perhaps joining a club. You know, this particular read club that I've heard a friend of mine is in, and it's online, but I think I would want a physical one, you know, so that I can finish those books that I'm supposed to finish. You know, there's just certain books that, not necessarily university, college books, but there's just certain books that, you know, if you read them, you gain some knowledge, and, you know, there's a way reading also filters out certain things in your mind, and growth comes to you. So there are certain books, and I have quite plenty of them, that I need to read. And by that also, you enhance your skills, your knowledge, your capacity. Yeah, so let's never stop living and adding on to the skills, so that it makes it much more easier and better for us to add the tag on ourselves, so that other people don't define us and define tags for us. But nonetheless, so this has been what I had for you from Indafa Happy Juju. It is goodbye, good night. Have yourself a wonderful Saturday evening ahead, and please do rest well on Sunday and do the needful. I'll see you again next time. Please do take care and stay warm. Unlike me, who didn't play my card very right last Saturday, I made sure that this time around that cold is not going to get to me. So please do stay warm and be safe out there, and keep your belongings also very safe. Be vigilant and drive safely for those of you that are driving. Good night.